Today's sermon text is from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of God.
All right, as we look at Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, let's ask that the Lord would open our eyes to this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we just sang a prayer. That's what we were doing. We were all praying, Father, that you would show us Christ through the preaching of your word. Father, we ask you to help us in this as we begin to preach and we begin to listen. We need your help because we cannot do this on our own. Father, this takes a miracle from you for us to see the kingdom of God. So, Father, please work a miracle and help us to understand your word and to find our delight in it. Father, we love you. Father, we believe that victory belongs to you. Even if you prepare a horse for battle, even if you get everything ready and in order, victory is yours. Not David's against Goliath, but yours. Not Gideon's, but yours. So Father, we trust in you. We believe that. Protect us from the evil one, oh God, who hates your word and hates your people and hates the lost with a disgusting, vile hatred. So much so that he'll put smiles on people's faces to hide his hatred. Oh God, keep us from temptation. Worry about so many earthly things. Oh God, help us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Two questions I want you to answer this morning through seeing it in this text. I want you to see the answers in the text. Now, I don't want to convince you with my language. I want you to see in the Bible the answer to these two questions and your mind to expand, your synapses to fire off and a file in your brain to get something added to it to answer these two questions to help your faith or to bring you to faith. Okay? Here's the two questions. Question number one, when did you become a sinner? Question number one, when did you become a sinner? Question number two, Why does that matter? Why is that question important? So I want to see that in the text today. So the first thing we're going to look at is Adam. Adam. But we're going to go back to Genesis. I want you to see something in Genesis, because this is important for Romans 5. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded, that's an important word, the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. He's got him in the Garden of Eden. Every tree you can eat. But, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this particular tree, here's the command, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. So there's a clear command. In the garden, eat everything you see except this one tree. When you eat it, you're going to die. Okay? Now flip over to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. We see sin enter in. So we see a clear command. Now we're going to see sin at the very end of it, after the woman sees it and she takes delight in it. She took of its fruit and she ate. Now here's what I want you to see. She gave some to her husband who was with her. This is Adam. And he ate. So we saw the clear command, chapter 2, don't eat it. We see a clear breaking of that clear command, and he ate. Okay? Now I want you to see the judgment. Verse 11, same chapter. God says to Adam, "Who told you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" So if you would, just picture a courtroom. Did you break the clear command that I said? Did you eat the tree I said not to eat? Next verse, verse 12. He tries to blame it on the woman at the beginning, but look at the end. Adam says, "I ate." Okay? Got a clear command. Don't eat. We see clearly he ate. We got a clear question. Did you eat? We see Adam say, "I ate." So this is the judgment coming down. Verse 17, God says to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree," because you ate, "of which I commanded you, you shall not eat." Because of this. So this is the guilty sentence. So did you eat? Yes, I ate. Because you ate. So right, this is the, you are guilty then. You are guilty. Now in this same sentence is the guilty verdict and the sentence. So right, if you go into our courtroom, this is all the exact same stuff you see in a proper courtroom where justice is served. You have to prove that there's guilty. Once that there's guilt proven, there's a judgment. You are guilty. And then later, there's a sentencing. Here's what you have to do because you're guilty. So later in that same sentence, verse 17, "Because you ate, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat it." This is all part of the condemnation. Verse 18, "Thorns and thistles are going to bring forth from you. You shall eat of the plants of the field." Verse 19, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." This is the sentencing. Now life is going to be hard. You're going to sweat, Adam. So we were made to work. All this work that we do 6 days a week, that's normal. We were created for that. But now it's all hard. There's a reason it feels like a burden all the time, fighting thorns and thistles and sweat, hardship, pain. And then verse 19, look at the capstone of the condemnation. You're going to do this. You're going to have hardship till you return to the ground. That's being buried. "For out of it you were taken." He created Adam out of the dust. "For you are dust." That's what you are, Adam. That's where I got you from. "And to dust you shall return." So not only are you going into the ground, but you're going to decay and you're going to turn right back into what I had brought you out of. So here in Genesis 2 and 3, we see a clear command. We see him clearly break that command. We see him judged. When he says, have you eaten? He says, I ate. And he says, because you have ate. So there's a judgment. And then there's condemnation, the sentencing. The ground is cursed, your life is cursed, and you're going to die and return into dust. Death. Okay? So you got sin, judgment, condemnation, and death. Verse 5 of Genesis chapter 5. All the days of Adam were 930, and he died. So death followed the condemnation. So that's Adam's life. That's Adam's story that we need in our mind as we read Romans chapter 5. He sinned, he was judged, he was condemned, and then the condemnation came about and he died. Okay? Now I want to look in Romans chapter 5, all men in the historical Adam. When I say historical Adam, I mean the real Adam, the actual Adam. A real man with a real hand took a real piece of fruit and ate it, and that was sin. Okay? When I say historical Adam, that's what I mean. I just want everybody to know it's important that Adam isn't some figurehead of a myth that we can all just rally around that something went bad somewhere. No, it matters that our first man, Adam, sinned against God. Okay? So now I want to look at all men. So when you see man or men, this is all mankind in Adam. Okay? And we're going to see the parallel of what he did in Genesis and what we did in him in Genesis. Verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Okay? I'm going to hopefully, by God's grace, flesh that out more. But you need to see that in Adam, we all sinned in the garden because all sinned. We see that's what it must mean because down in verse 19, for one man's disobedience, by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by his disobedience, by his eating of the fruit, everybody is made a sinner in Adam. Okay? So in Adam, we sinned. Number 2, judgment. Romans 5:16. The free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. So one trespass brought judgment for everybody. Okay? And that leads to, just like in Genesis, you see the judgment and the condemnation going together. You see that in this verse. The judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. Okay? Now we know that's not just condemnation for Adam, because down in verse 18, it says, therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men. So you see all and many in here. This is Paul just using language to say the same story. One trespass brought a judgment for everybody. One trespass led to condemnation for all men, verse 18. Now look at death is what follows the condemnation, right? So we'll go back up. I've already read this, but I'll read it again because now I want you to see the death in the verse. Verse 12. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, that's how it got there, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay, so death now is there in the garden in Adam. Our death, all men, death spread to all men. Verse 14, death reigned. You've heard me talk about how this world in its fallen state, death is reigning like a king. And we see that day after day after day, death reigns. It gets everybody. Okay? So death is in Adam. Verse 15, we see, for many died through one man's trespass. Look at that in verse 15. For if many died through one's trespass. One, that's the fruit. That's when Adam, with his actual arm, ate the actual fruit, that's when we died. That's when the condemnation, the judgment, the condemnation, the death, everything is shored up there. Verse 17, you see death reigning through that one man. So you can trace it backwards through Romans 5 here. Death means, if somebody dies, it means they were condemned. If someone's condemned, that means they were judged properly. And if that they were judged properly, that led to condemnation, that led to death, it means they sinned. So why do I say that we all sinned in Adam? That's where our judgment came from. That's where our condemnation came from. That's where our death came from. We're going to try to flesh this out by God's grace. When we see there in verse 12, look at verse 12 in chapter 5. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. And I'm telling you that means all sinned in Adam. Right then, when he bit the fruit is when we sinned. And then he explains, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14 and 15 here to try to get this explanation of why our sin is in Adam. So he says all sinned, and then he says four. So you see that transition. He's building an argument for why he just said all sinned. He said sin was indeed in the world before the law. What law is he talking about? Well, number one, he's talking about the law of Moses. Before there was a command to not murder, people were murdering, right? But that's not the only law, right? We've already learned in this exact letter, just a few paragraphs before, it's not been months in Paul's mind as he's written. He's told us about a law written on their hearts. Before there was a law given, sin was actually in the world. But look what he says, sin is not counted where there is no law. So does that mean somebody that doesn't know isn't guilty, condemned, and judged? That's what I thought for a long time, but that's not what he's saying, and it's really clear why. It's because the next verse, verse 14, starts with the word yet. He says, so sin was there before the law came, before everybody was told, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt do that. Sin was already here. Sin was a problem. But sin was not counted to them, counted to them in the same way where there was no law, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. So before Moses got there with the Ten Commandments from Adam, what happened to everybody in between there? They died. Death reigned over this. And Paul is saying, he goes on to say exactly what he wants to say, even over those whose sinning, notice the words here, whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. So what we saw, Adam get a clear command, I know not to do it, I did it anyways, I transgressed. You guys hear me often talk about sin, transgression, and iniquities. Here's transgression. He got a clear command and he broke it. He went against it. But Paul says, the people who didn't sin in that way also died. They all died. But this is where it gets important about what law are we talking about, because Adam transgressed a clear command, don't eat. And so we think, oh, if you don't have the law of God, the clear command, then it's not a sin if you do these things. But again, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 19. God has made it plain to them about himself. He's shown it to them. Verse 15 of chapter 2, the work of the law is written on their hearts. So all these people, from Adam to Moses, have a conscience, which God is calling the law written on their hearts. Okay? So when they go against their conscience, they're transgressing like Adam is. They have a clear command. They know it. They're sitting there thinking about it. I shouldn't steal this. But they steal it. That's like Adam in the garden. I shouldn't eat this. But I ate it. Right? They know it. So whose sinning is this? Because we're talking about this group of people, and I want you to think about who are the people between Adam and Moses. So it's the whole world between Adam and Moses. Well, there's a major thing that happened in there. Before you get to Abraham, there was judgment on the whole world, right? There's a story in the Bible, an account in the Bible about Noah who builds an ark. And his family gets in the ark, God closes the door, the rains come, the ark goes up, and the whole earth, apart from his family, dies and drowns. That's terrifying. You know, we see pictures of this, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be this way, but in our kids' Bibles, we see pictures of these wicked people drowning. It doesn't take long to think about, well, who all drowned in the flood? Before you get away from these horrible, wicked murderers and rapists, thieves and liars, and you see a mom holding a kid. You see a family that doesn't know, never heard Moses or Noah preach. You see everybody die in the flood. That's troubling for me. I'm sure it's troubling for you. But the flood comes, and that's just one example, but everybody died from Adam to Moses, just like everybody dies now. So this includes babies, includes miscarriages, which are babies. I'm not a scientist, I guess. Those are the same. Mentally handicapped, who can't comprehend anything, they all died. And what Paul is saying, that there's people who sinned not like Adam. Didn't transgress. They didn't hear from God in the law. They didn't hear from God in a voice in the garden. And they didn't hear from God in a conscience. And yet they died. Why? Why is it that there's a miscarriage? Why is it that a small one would die? Why is it that the mentally incapable would die? The answer, when you work that chain backwards, is because they sinned in Adam. We're going to talk about this more. Don't freak out yet. Death proves, when somebody dies, anybody, it proves that they were condemned to death. It proves that they were judged by God, which proves that they sinned. And what he is saying then, when did they sin? Verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through the one man and death through sin, so death spread. That means all these people died because all sinned. The reason all die is because all sinned, past tense. The King James there says have sinned. That the word have is not in there. Even the people that preached out of the King James would bring that up when they would preach this. All sinned in Adam. Why? Verse 19 tells us that, to bring us back to us. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So if you're a sinner, it means you sinned. So you were made a sinner when he disobeyed. Your sin was there. Now remember, I bring this up often. We're all part of Adam. We were literally in Adam. Our DNA traces it all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we were there, and in God's eyes, we ate. In God's eyes, He judged us. In God's eyes, He condemned us. And in God's eyes, we died. And that's why you can have a miscarriage in the womb and die. Or you can live to be 120 and die. The only difference is that time. There is no other difference. That's hard for us to grasp. But in God's eyes, all in Adam, sin, judge, condemn, and death. So when did you become a sinner? This is the question that I want you to see in the Scripture. You became a sinner in Adam. I want you to think about an apple tree. I think I've used this one before. I want you to think about an apple tree. And I want you to tell me, when did that become an apple tree? right? You see red fruit on it. It's harvest time, or maybe green fruit or yellow apples if you like that. And say, when did that become an apple tree? And you just start tracing it back in history. And you can follow that all the way through the stages, and you're going to find a seed that a man put in the ground, or an apple fell and rotted and a tree grew. You can write volumes of books about the difference between seeds and saplings and trees. But that's all that ever was an apple tree. Whether it's this big or whether it's the most fruitful apple tree in the orchard, it's an apple tree. Is an apple tree, is an apple tree. Whether you're 120 or one day old, you're a sinner. It's interesting that all of our pro-life arguments back this up, right? For those of us that are pro-life that says abortion is wrong, why is it wrong? Because there's just as much value in that one-day-old embryo as there is in that 120-year-old, the 30-year-old, the 2-year-old. There's value because it's a human being. And it doesn't change. Just because you can write volumes about the difference between a fetus, a 2-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 120-year-old doesn't change what it is, right? That's our argument for why it's wrong. So we know this principle. When did you become a sinner? The answer is when Adam sinned, when you sinned in Adam. You did not become a sinner because you sinned here in your life. This is a play on words, but it's important. It's helped me so much over the years. I want you to get this. You did not become a sinner because you sinned in this life. You sinned in this life because you were a sinner. Right? So when the first bloom of an apple comes off, that's not when it became an apple tree. That bloom came off, and that apple came off because it was an apple tree. So the sin that comes out of us isn't what makes us a sinner. The sin that comes out of us is because we are sinners. It's who we are. You become more fully and visibly what you truly are. You see, you have a you problem. Who we are is the problem. Who we are in Adam is the problem. Other scriptures that show this. Psalms 51, this is David. In his birth, he says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." I mean, when I was born, so this is, David is a murderer and adulterer, and he's repenting, and he's confessing, and he's looking at the fruit of sin in his life, and he wants to trace it back and says, man, when did this problem show up? That I would murder an adultery. And so he traced it all the way back. I'm sure he went through the wilderness and all the battles. I'm sure he went to when he was a shepherd boy. And he went all the way back. And David ended up on the night that he was conceived by his mom and his dad. And he says, oh my, I had a problem then. David is the problem. Not adultery and murder. Psalms 58, the psalmist says, the wicked are estranged from their womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. Traces it all the way back to conception. Paul says in Ephesians 2:3 that we were by nature children of wrath. That's who we are. That's the tree we're growing on. So this fruit of sin that comes out of human beings is because of who we are as sinners. So, all humankind sinned, were guilty, were judged, were condemned, and died in Adam in the garden, the first man. That's where your problem came from. That's where my problem came from. Okay, I want you to set on that. I want to answer the question why that is important in a bit. But because we put that out there, now I want to take an important side note. So it doesn't have a lot to do with what Paul's talking about, but it has a lot to do with all the questions and turmoil that come into my mind and my heart when I see that clear truth in the Scripture and I think about those babies, those mentally handicapped, mentally incapable. And so I want to take this, what I'm calling here, an important side note, and it's the same important side note that if you remember when I preached about parenting, I preached out of Romans 5. I preached how we were sinners, condemned, judged, and died in Adam. But there's two things that you can walk away from this truth, that we were in Adam, we sinned, judged, condemned, and died. Two false statements you can fall into. Two false statements. One, a false statement that says all babies go to hell then. Because they die and they're condemned and they must be going to hell. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's a false statement. The second false statement that you can come is, wait a minute, these babies and these mentally incapable don't know what they're doing, so they can't be condemned, they're not guilty, and they're innocent. That's a false statement on the other side of the road, because the Bible doesn't teach that either. All human beings that will be in heaven will be there in spite of their guiltiness. Their guiltiness in Adam. Heaven is full of people that receive grace, which is unearned favor from God through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not a part, you don't see anywhere in the Scriptures where you get to heaven and you have innocent people that never sinned over here and you have people given grace who actually sinned over here. You don't see that. Nothing's coming to your mind because that is not there. They're there all by grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. So then what happens to the unborn? What happens to those of our loved ones that die young? Our infants are mentally incapable. Well, the Bible doesn't say super clearly, and we have to be comfortable with that. But there are some things the Bible makes very clear that I think can apply to comfort our hearts when we think about that. Number one, back to David, who sinned, and he traced it back to the day he was conceived. He conceived in his sin a baby, remember. And God says, that baby's going to die, David. And so David mourns and he pleads with God to save this baby's life. And then it dies and everybody's worried about David. And he says, this is what David says, he is dead. Why should I fast? Why should I keep being troubled about that? I can't bring him back. But I shall go to him. He will not return to me. So I got to put some pieces of puzzle that'll be clear, I think, together. David is a man after God's own heart. He's confident that God will be his eternal father. He's not doubting his salvation. And he says, I will go to my little one. So when you put those two things together, he has no doubt that he will be with Yahweh through eternity, through faith, and I'm going to see this one. I put those two things together and say, now this is Scripture. David's saying, my little one's with God. Another thing that brings me comfort is out of Romans 1, where when God is judging people, and he talks about pouring his wrath on them, not the judgment, but pouring his wrath. I want to use my words carefully. In verse 19 of Romans 1, he says, what can be known about God is plain to them. So remember, he's showing everybody's condemned, and he says, what can be known about God is plain to them. Now, I want you to think about little ones, the preborn, and the mentally incapable. Is the things that can be known about God plain to them? No. It says God has shown it to them. Now, next verse, his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, that he is God and he reigns eternally, have been clearly perceived. So we have plain and clearly perceived. Those cannot apply to our little ones that can't plainly understand or clearly perceive about God. So when he talks about pouring out his wrath in Romans 1, he's pouring it out on the people that he made it plain to. Now he's talking in Romans 1, not about everybody that read their Bible, but about people that saw the sun and the trees, and they worshiped idols instead. So I draw comfort from that, thinking about little ones, thinking about miscarriages, thinking about the mentally incapable. So they can't clearly perceive anything. He's not, they don't fit in that. He hasn't made it plain to them. So then that leads me just to trust God that He'll do what's right. And I get that from Abraham in Genesis 18, who God shows up and He tells him, I'm going to destroy that city over there, Sodom, Gomorrah. I'm going to destroy it. You know the story. Some of you know the story. Abraham's like, well, what if there's 50 good people in there, 50 righteous? God says, you know what? If there's 50 righteous, I won't do it. And they have this bargain all the way down. The point of the story is there isn't any Abraham. But this Abraham says, when he gets really uncomfortable with God destroying a whole city, he says, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? I know you'll do what's right, God. So we can trust God to do what's right. So we draw comfort from David's text. We draw comfort from Romans 1. We draw comfort from who God is. Now let me talk a little bit about that. Who is God? Well, He's told us who He is in His Word. He's loving. He's merciful. He gives grace to the humble. He tells us to become like infants. He says, you need to be like them. Helpless, dependent completely upon His and His mercy. So we trust God. He says in Romans 9:18, I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. I will harden whom I'll harden. We just have to trust God. But at the same time, we can draw comfort in that He is faithful and good. He does beautiful things. And there's something in all humans that look at mentally incapable, look at our little ones, and we see a difference. We just know it. And I can draw comfort from these scriptures. But I cannot say what the scriptures don't say, is that they're innocent. They haven't done anything wrong, because the scriptures said in Adam they sinned. And the fact that they died proves it. So one thing I want to remind us here that I said before is that we need to know what lane we're in. The Bible talks about thousands of different things. The thing that comes to my mind is, if you get a call today and one of your loved ones is in jail because while they were driving drunk last night, they hit a family and killed them, you got to go to the jailhouse. What scripture are you going to share with them? Well, it depends, doesn't it? If you show up and they're stomping around the jail cell, these stupid judges, I didn't do anything wrong. It was the deer. I'm innocent. Even though their blood alcohol was way up and they was in the wrong lane and they're like, I didn't do anything wrong. You're going to get some scripture that says, dear loved one, God's going to judge you. You will not inherit the kingdom of God with this hard heart. But if you show up and they're laying with their face down on the concrete, full of snot and tears, just heartbroken and suicidal because they've done something wicked, you're going to come to them about how Jesus died for sinners, aren't you? Because there's a lane you run in situations. And the lane we run in when we have to bury an infant is not the same lane we run in when we have to spank one or teach one. They're two different lanes. Now, God's given us these things as a gift. And we don't need to lose our minds because Romans 5 is clear. But we don't need to forget the comfort of the Holy Scriptures because Romans 5 is clear either. We serve a good God, a just God, who will always do what is right. Just another example, the thief on the cross died and went to heaven. He was a rotten sinner every day of his life to the last hour, and then he went to heaven. Is that how we're going to teach our Sunday school classes? Do anything you want all your life, and then at the very end, repent and go to heaven. No, we're not. Are we going to say, well, he wasn't baptized, so, So when Jesus says everybody be baptized, you know, a thief on the cross wasn't, we don't need to make a big deal. No, we're not going to do that either. We're going to run in the lane. When we talk to somebody on their deathbed that needs Jesus, we're not going to tell them, well, if you don't hurry up and get baptized some way, you're going to go to hell. We're not going to do that. But we're not going to teach that it doesn't matter about baptism and how you live. The Bible is big. The Bible brings us a lot of comfort. But the Bible is clear on a lot of things. That's just hard to swallow, not hard to understand. I want you to know I feel that too. When I come to Romans 5, I gulp. When I work the rest of the way through Romans, I gulp. But I also praise, because this is a good God. So in Adam, all sinned, all were judged, all were condemned, and all died. There will be no innocence in heaven other than one, Jesus. There will be one innocent human being in heaven, Jesus. Everybody else will be there by free grace alone. Okay? But we believe that that grace is big enough to handle those that couldn't understand anything. Because he tells us he gives grace to the humble. So there's the side note. Now I want to answer, why in the world does it matter that we insist that we all sinned in Adam, judged in Adam, condemned in Adam, and died in Adam? I want you to look back in Romans because I want you to see the answer there. The answer to this question, why is it so important? Why does it matter? Verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who were sinning, was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. And now we have to remember what he's doing here in Romans 5. He's building these parallel tracks, and he uses this language, just like in Adam, it is in Jesus. In his trespass brought condemnation, and his righteousness brought life. His sin, or his action brought your sin, his action brought your righteousness. And it's important that we understand what he's doing. Okay? Because Adam is a type of Jesus. And he's showing, you got to get this right to understand properly your life in Jesus. In this whole section, he's comparing our standing in Christ to our standing in Adam. Now, this is important because if you back off from these harsher sayings and you say that, well, Adam's sin only made me capable of sin, only got me to where I might sin, well, then you have to jump over onto that other track that he's laying out here and say that the righteousness of Christ just makes you capable of righteousness. Prepared for righteousness? Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, is it? We're righteous in Christ because we were unrighteous and sinners in Adam, right? If you're only bent towards sin, then you're only bent towards righteousness. I don't know about you, but I've lived long enough as a Christian now, I'm terrified of the thought that I would only be bent towards righteousness. Because if I could lose my salvation, I will lose my salvation. I know me. There's no hope in me. So you have to, if you want to own the righteousness and the life of Jesus Christ on this one, you have to own the judgment, the death, the condemnation, and the sin in this one. Because that's what he's doing here. And we'll see that more fully next week as we look at, or tonight in small group, we're going to read about what we get in Christ. But we're going to see the glory of this trail, how it goes further and better and bigger. If you can't stomach being guilty in Adam, well, you can't stomach being righteous in Christ. Because they're going together here. Not only that, as we close down here in verse 11, that started all this. Remember, more than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Maybe the reason you're rejoicing isn't going fast enough on that track is because you haven't dwelt on and let Romans 5 say what it says in this track. Because when you see yourself like David did, you'll see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you see yourself as condemned and dead and judged in Adam, you will rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because He's given us this reconciliation. So, when did you become a sinner? Romans 5 tells you when Adam ate the fruit. Why does it matter? Because your identity in Christ is parallel to your identity in Adam. So if someone asks you why you sin, here's the simple answer. I was born this way. I was born this way. See, we want to, when the world says, well, I was born this way, you got to celebrate it. We say, no, you weren't born that way. I'm telling you, we were all born that way. We were all born homosexuals and adulterers and fornicators and liars and thieves and every other bad thing. We were born in sin, children of wrath, like the rest by nature. So when somebody says, why did you lie to me? I was born this way. And if they say, well, why do you, if you're a Christian, if they say, well, why do you love God? Why do you strive to be like Him? Why are you being conformed into the image of Jesus? You say, well, I was born again this way. Because those are parallel. We were born in sin. We came from Adam. And we were born again into Jesus Christ. And we don't take any of the credit for His righteous life. And when we look at the good things in our life, we don't say, oh, they're no good, I'm a bad, rotten sinner. We say, they are glorious, praise the name of Jesus. I'm not what I used to be. I've been born again. That I came to that fork in the road. And by God's grace, I am Jesus Christ, who has become to me. God has made Him to me wisdom and redemption and righteousness and sanctification. I am all those things in Christ Jesus. Praise His name. Let them who boast in the Lord. I was born again this way. And I rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, who gave me this reconciliation. Why or when did you become a sinner? When Adam ate the fruit. Why does it matter? Why is it so important? Because Christ's glory is at stake. Your unity and identity in Him is at stake. And if we are in Christ, the way the Scriptures lay out we are in Christ, we have to say humans are in Adam the way the Scriptures has laid out that they're in Adam. Praise be the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for sinners, who died for Adam's helpless race. Father in heaven, I come before You full of joy. Lord God, when I think of Your justice demanding the condemnation and the death and the punishment of Adam, and I see Your Son who created Adam, representing the patience and the forbearance that You are and that You have. Not that You're not just, but in Your patience, Jesus says, wait. When we all rebelled against You there and become this seed, and then we grow up into these sinners that sin, and this fruit of ugliness and selfishness grows on us, Jesus says, wait. I love them. I thank You that Jesus Christ died to pay for the sins of His people. And He invites every single person to come and receive forgiveness. And says, why would you perish? Come to Me. So Father, I praise Your name. You're glorious. I rejoice in You through Your Son, Jesus Christ, by whom we have received this reconciliation. Praise His name. Amen. Amen.